Good evening, everyone. It is March 23rd, 2021. This is a regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. And tonight, the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by, it was supposed to be Assemblymember Morrison, but she is not here tonight. So could I please ask Assemblymember Powell to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. Kim, could you please, ceremonial matters tonight. We have one item, and that is a proclamation for National Library Week. Whereas our national schools, academic, public, and special libraries make a difference in the lives of millions of Americans, and whereas libraries are places of opportunity, providing programs that teach all forms of literacy, promoting continuing education, and encouraging lifelong learning, and whereas in times of economic hardships, Americans turn to and depend on their libraries and librarians, and whereas librarians are trained to tech-savvy professionals, providing technology, training, and access to downloadable content like ebooks, and whereas libraries play a vital role in supporting the quality of life in their communities, and whereas libraries continuously grow and evolve in how they provide for the needs of every member of their community, and whereas libraries help people of all ages discover a world of knowledge both in person and online, as well as provide personal services and assistance in finding needed information, and whereas libraries are narrowing the digit divide by providing no-fee public computer and internet access to accommodate the growing need for access to digital and online information. And whereas libraries, librarians, library workers, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week, now therefore be it resolved that I, Stephen Prusunka, Mayor of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, do hereby proclaim April 4th to 10th, 2021, National Library Week, and I encourage all residents to visit the library that week and to take advantage of the wonderful library resources available at your library. Lives are changed at your library. So we'll get that signed and off to our wonderful librarians and over at our library. So happy National Library Week.
Yep.
Lisa, sorry, did you want to say something? Did I hear you chime in there?
No.
Okay, thank you. Kim, roll call, please.
Yes, assembly members, Ryan Howe.
Yes.
Dalrymple.
Here.
David Powell.
Here.
Corson.
Here.
Gilbert.
Here.
And Mayor Prusunka.
And I'm here as well. Persons to be heard under section WMC 3.05.04C, it states that the chair may call to order any person who is breaching the peace or being disorderly by speaking without recognition, engaging in booing or catcalls, speaking vulgarities, name calling, personal attacks, or engaging in other conduct which is determined by the chair to be disruptive of the meeting. Any person so disrupting a meeting of the assembly may be removed and barred from further attendance at the meeting unless permission to return or remain is granted by a majority of the votes of the assembly. Kim, do we have anybody for persons to be heard tonight?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have Don McConaughey who wants to do the invocation.
Mr. McConaughey, please, are you online, sir?
Yes, I am here.
Thank you. Would you go ahead with the invocation, please, sir?
Yeah. Let us pray. Oh God, you have bound us together in a common life. Help us in the midst of our struggles for justice and truth to comfort one another without hatred or bitterness and to work together with mutual forbearance and respect through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. McConaughey. Kim, do we have anyone else?
Yes, DJ McConaughey.
Mr. DJ McConaughey, are you online?
Yes, I am. You got me?
We sure do. Please go ahead, DJ.
Okay. Hey, so good evening. On tonight's agenda, there's an update on the Baylor. I have some concern about that particular item. Each and every year, the city expends hundreds of thousands of dollars on collection, shipping, and disposal of our trash. Collection is something that's being done very well. However, the rub for me is the shipping and disposal costs. With costs of almost anything you can think of going up with no end in sight, we need to be thinking of ways to turn that expenditure into revenue. Wrangell isn't the only place that is faced with shipping trash south. This is a common problem all throughout Southeast Alaska. What we have here is an excellent opportunity to turn this situation around. Wrangell would be the perfect place to have a plasma burner, plain and simple. With the partnerships the city already has in place, we could make this a reality. It could have happened many years ago, but due to gross misinformation, it was shot down, which is quite tragic because we wouldn't be having this conversation now if that plasma burner were here today. This is a conversation we should be having now, not how or who is going to pay for a baler. Looking at the situation we are faced with, let's take a good hard look at it. The last I knew, which correct me if I'm wrong, but the city had contracts with Republic who disposed of our trash. Reading that contract, it appeared to me that the city is not the one liable for the trash once it's loaded into the container, which to me means why do we as a city need the burden of having to buy an expensive piece of equipment? It would appear that Republic should bring us into compliance or that they would be in breach of contract. But that's just me. I see an area where the city can not only save money, but in the future could generate money, jobs, power, and other sellable byproducts. These are the conversations that should be going on. Thank you all.
Thank you, DJ. Lisa, could I just ask you quickly to respond to the comment regarding the contract for Republic? Are we relieved of all liability once the trash is loaded onto the barge with Republic?
Mr. Mayor, I will have to review the contract and get back to the assembly with that, which I will do.
Would you please do that? Because recently we had a fire that we would have been held responsible for. Luckily, there wasn't enough damage on that that was offloaded off the barge. So you could please, I'd appreciate that. Mr. McConaughey, we'll get back to you on that. Thank you for raising that point. Okay, we're moving on. Is there anyone else for persons to be heard?
No, Mr. Mayor, I have nobody else.
Okay, thank you. Is there any amendments to the agenda, item four? All right, seeing none. Item five, conflicts of interest. Does anybody have a conflict of interest? Okay, Madam Vice Mayor, I would, if you would take the chair, please.
All right.
Thank you. I'm going to declare a conflict of interest regarding the city manager's evaluation and also the clerk's evaluation. And I'm declaring that conflict as I was the subject of an investigation that was conducted by the city manager. And I believe that my participation in her evaluation at this point could be, you know, conceived as or perceived as, but from the community, that there would be a quid pro quo as a part of that investigation. And also this, the city clerk was the person by charter who conducted the recall evaluation. And again, for the same reason, I would like to abstain from involvement in the city clerk's evaluation, as I don't want any perception of a quid pro quo in regards to that. So I'd like to abstain from both of those.
And I will rule that you do have a conflict of interest in both the evaluation of the borough manager and the borough clerk. And pending any disapproval by the assembly, it'll stand.
I'll just say that I'll honor it, but I disagree.
Fair enough. Any other assembly members have a comment? Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Vice Mayor. Okay, we're on to item six, consent agenda.
Move to approve agenda as presented.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
Seconded by Powell. Any discussion? Poll vote, please, Kim.
Yes. Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
Corson?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Prasanka?
Yes. Item seven, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa, please go ahead.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to first ask Captain Spray, if she's on, I'm checking, she is, looks like she's there and available to give the COVID-19 update, please, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Captain Spray, are you on? I don't see her online, maybe. Oh, there she is. Good evening, Captain Spray. Please go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to start. Kim, could I share screen? Is that an option?
Yes, you should have that option.
Okay, thank you. I just wanna give an update. I haven't given a full update due to ambulance calls for a while. So I just wanted to make sure I got a full update to the assembly here. It says it's failed. Uh-oh, try again. Sorry, yep, technical difficulties. I promise we'll get there. We'll try this.
There it is.
All right, so. The last time we met, we really went over numbers. Was I think in early March, possibly late February, and at that time our alert level was in the high. And as you can recall, it was primarily due to the outbreak that was happening over in Petersburg. Since that time, we have gone down, and we are now in the intermediate. Not quite back to low, but we're getting there. For our region, we have Sitka with 4 cases. And Juneau, as you know, is separate from our area. But they have 12 cases. Ketchikan with 6. Petersburg right now has 8 active cases and they have gone down to the low. Haines has 0 and Wrangell has 2 cases. A number of areas surrounding us all of the areas surrounding us right now are in the low. So what is holding us right now is just the high numbers that for that 14, they look at the 14, 7 and 14 day average. So we are still seeing that. Hold on. How the state determines those, again, you guys have shown this a zillion times, the high, intermediate, and low. We're all tired of looking at that and how they determine that. So we are above 5 cases per 100,000. So we're in that 5 to 10 cases, which puts us in the intermediate level. On the left, this is what was presented previous. When we were in that higher alert level. The larger picture there on the right-hand side, you'll see much of the state actually is still in a higher intermediate area. Juneau and Southeast Southern, which includes POW and Ketchikan, are the only two areas of the state right now that are in the low with minimal community transmission. So this is just a snapshot of our cases for today. We had 178 new cases identified yesterday with currently 40 patients are hospitalized seeking treatment. Also in this slide are obviously totals starting from the very beginning of the pandemic, total resident and non-resident cases and cumulative hospitalizations for both resident and non-resident patients. Next slide, just wanna go into, I am totally off, but I'm gonna go into this one anyhow. So this one is out of order and it just gives us a glimpse of what's going on cases by continent. So what we're looking at here as we've seen our waves kind of are consistent with waves from Europe. We lag about 3 weeks behind. There is kind of a surge that looks to be happening in Europe, Czech Republic. These areas have been hit in the latest wave that's happening. It's not rising as sharply as it did in the previous surges, and so that is a positive. However, they are really cautious with this because, again, we tend to lag behind just by a little bit. So when we're looking at these numbers and we see Europe on the rise, we know that that could potentially happen here. The one thing that differentiates there is Europe is very slow to get vaccinations out right now, whereas the US has some higher numbers. Back to my original here was, hey, Petersburg is in the low. Sorry about that. A little out of place, out of order. On the 18th of February, we had reported that Petersburg was in a high. They had, at one point in time, 66 active cases. In turn, as a community, we took some precautions as well. As of yesterday, they are reporting that they have 8 active cases and 2 of those identified in the last 7 days. They do have 119 pending cases, but they have moved their community to a low alert level. So very positive to see happen in their next door. As always, we try to report on the hospital bed status, and we have our ICU for Anchorage in the red right now, and a small but very worth mentioning regular hospital bed status has improved from the last time I reported on this, and we only had 100 beds available. So we'll take the positives where we get them. So, and we've got a couple extra beds open. We do not want to fill them. We want to see that green stay green. So next slide is Southeast. We remain in the red, and this number is fairly consistent with what it looked like in February as well, with only five COVID positive patients hospitalized at this time in the Southeast region.
Captain Spray, I think you said we remain in the red. I think you-
I'm sorry, I meant green. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm not problem. Even colorblind, I'm sorry. I have no excuse. So the epi curve, this is the epi curve that we reported on our last, when we were looking at everything happening within the state. There were a number of areas, or sorry, not in the state, within the Southeast Northern region for our area. This is what epi had determined what was gonna be happening. It happened to some extent there, and now we're on a wonderful downhill slide. So what we want to see, cases did meet the estimates that they projected, but now we're seeing with the increase of vaccinations and everybody doing the right thing, we're watching those numbers decline, which is great. Lost my mouse. So this is our airport testing. Positive COVID tests conducted. There are 10 airports altogether that have contracts with the state. And as you'll see, it starts January 31st to February 2nd is that first week timeframe. And the very bottom is the identified positives within that those weeks. So it has it had fluctuated there in the earlier portions of February. And then we saw a sharp increase just with the last week reporting of March 7th to March 13th with 37 individuals traveling that were identified through airport testing.
Captain Spray, can I just ask you about that slide really quickly?
Yeah.
So do they actually only take travelers in those statistics in that 37, or would that include a person who travels out from the community, who's a member of the community and tests at the hospital or at the airport? Would they be included in that number if they pop positive?
I believe so. I will have to find out for sure. They do have to fill out the travel declaration to be included in this piece. So I can find that out and let you know. Yeah, this is for any testing that's being conducted at the airport. So okay. I'm not sure. The next slide is they had asked those individuals who have that contract to watch and do counts for anybody who's non-cooperative. And what I mean by non-cooperative is those travelers who decline to complete the state travel declaration or decline to provide any information or test at the airport. Like I said, there are 10 airports altogether: Anchorage, Cordova, Fairbanks, Gus Davis, Juneau, Ketchikan, Petersburg, Sitka, Wrangell, and Yakutat. So these numbers and the trend that you're seeing there and the sharp spike are consistent with the expiration of the declaration requiring incoming travelers to test and complete that travel declaration form. Overall, the state saw that huge jump with non-cooperative travelers with a significant jump just in the last 2 week timeframe there of over 2000 people kind of just declining to fill out any of that information. So to this, it did take some work, but we do have city staff now greeting incoming travelers and explaining the ordinances. Or they're available to answer any questions that travelers have regarding testing or what our city asks are or requirements. This was put into place to help the current screeners search. They have personnel out there that can conduct the actual testing, but they weren't there or it was really bogging them down to do any of the kind of implementation of our recent ordinance that was put in place. So, I wanted to read you a piece that we received after the first couple of days of having that employee or that staff in place out there. And this is from Charlie Allen's directly. She says, quote, "I just wanted to share some feedback received about airport testing program. The additional CBW staff to educate and answer questions about the local mandates has dramatically assisted the airport testing program. It has increased the percentages of arrivals completing their testing and has allowed the testing staff to operate more efficiently. Thank you," end quote. So very positive. We hadn't really coordinated with them for any of the testing that's been conducted in the community. They've handled all of it. And so this was our first kind of partnership with that. So it's good to see that it is working and is very positive out there. Just kind of a summary again of what's happened. As you can see, this is week 40 of airport testing. We've been doing this since June 6th. And altogether, they screened 7,443. On those travel declaration forms, for anybody who hasn't traveled recently, you have to identify whether or not you're coming in with a negative test, whether you tested prior to arrival and you haven't received those results yet, or if you didn't test and you're choosing to test at the airport. And one of the options also is if you are an Alaska resident, you have the option to choose to quarantine for your 14 days after your flight and remain in your quarantine area. So you identify that on that form, and that's what this form is just showing, excuse me. So, and what their options were as they came in. Sorry, lack of words there. Positive tests identified again were that 374 people chose to quarantine after their flight, and 3,557 travelers chose to test in the airport. So given the numbers, we know that that's going up nationwide. I think that we're on day 8 of over 1 million people traveling. So and then this was just another view of that airport testing, which was the percent positivity and how that's increased just in the last little bit through airport screening. But I will find out, Mr. Mayor, if that includes the community testing in these numbers. So that wasn't specified in the information. So our big push right now is vaccines. And so as far as Alaska goes, fully vaccinated on the left, And those Alaskans who've received at least their first dose of vaccines. And this is includes all ages 16 and up. I know on the right hand side there, it will include the Johnson & Johnson and Janssen. I don't believe it's been 2 weeks since we started administering that within the state, but as we get there, those numbers would move over to that fully vaccinated is my understanding. So nationally, we're doing pretty well. We've got that over 20% that are fully vaccinated when we compare it to other states there. So we're doing okay. We did, sorry to go back there. Local numbers, I know I don't have them all, but I know last Wednesday on March 17th, they did celebrate their 1,000th dose being administered. So that was a very fun milestone for the community and for CERCH. I'd like to thank them for all their efforts in getting those vaccines out, getting the information out, and for everybody who's taken the time to get vaccinated. They did open up vaccinations, Pfizer vaccinations for our youth ages 16 to 18, and that is ongoing. So if you have a youth who is interested in getting vaccinated, reach out, contact CERCH. They are still obviously doing the others as well, Pfizer, Moderna, and I do believe they'll be getting the Johnson & Johnson in due time. So when asked about the level of optimism given our numbers nationally here within the state for vaccinations, the state epidemiologist Joe McLaughlin stated yesterday that he's feeling, this is regarding summer and spring. He's generally optimistic, but with three caveats. And one is the vaccine hesitancy that still remains. We really need to promote some confidence and why vaccines are a smart choice, and getting that information out there to individuals. A second concern he had was the variants. And the unknowns that revolve around those. We know that more variants may emerge, and the big one right now is the B.1.1.5. I'm getting them mixed up. And the unknowns that are around the variants right now. And also the third is that tourist season. So that was one of his, he's very optimistic, but with tourist season also comes individuals who aren't vaccinated. And so we really wanna make sure our state's opened up. We wanna do it safely, and we wanna encourage as many folks to come vaccinated. So thought it was interesting that he identified his three caveats there. So with that, you know, we are doing well for vaccinations. Our numbers are holding fairly steady. Again, today we had 178 cases yesterday, but we're not through it yet. And we just got to remember, like, there's still some work to be done. This is just a graph kind of showing by region, those alert levels and what they look like. Anchorage and Fairbanks are larger, more populated areas, have remained in the red for a long time. And some of our Southwest region and our Northwest region, they went from either that high alert level or the intermediate. They have a lot of the mixed households the generational households and such, and they had a huge increase in cases, and they worked very, very hard to get testing pushed out in these areas, and then they worked very hard to get vaccinations pushed out in these areas, and it's evident by looking at their cases kind of come down. So there's still work to be done. You can see the state as a whole is still fairly red. We want to see that get down, and so just want to stay positive. And I stole this quote off of an email. So it's human nature. If you don't see a threat, you tend not to deal with it, but that doesn't mean it's not there. And as my son says, that's what separates us from apes. So I just had to share. So that is the end of my report for tonight. We're doing well. Stay strong. Let's keep up the good work, guys. Thank you.